the hard way.
But that is our choice. So when this, it is described in the Bhagavad Purana, how the Lord creates this material world. Krishna, personally, has nothing to do with material existence. Krishna is Rasa Vihari. He's simply enjoying loving relations with the Brijvasis. And Narayan of Vaikuntha, he also has nothing to do with this material existence. He is simply enjoying with the goddess of fortune and all of the servants of the Lord. It is described that Krishna expands first as Lord Balaram, who facilitates all the beautiful loving relations of the spiritual abode. Balaram expands himself as the quadruple expansion of Vasudeva, Niruddha, Prajumana, and Shankarshan. Shankarshan and Vasudev expand themselves as Narayan, Vishnu, and Anantashesh. And then Shankarshan again expands himself as Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the original source directly of material existence. It is explained, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, or Mahavishnu. He lays in the causal ocean. And what is the causal ocean? It is the ocean that is created by his own perspiration. And while laying in the causal ocean, he is so big that when he exhales, uncountable, innumerable universes emanate from the nostrils and the pores of his body, like little bubbles. And those universes are all floating in the causal ocean. Mahavishnu is the original source of everything in material creation. He is the creator. From Mahavishnu, he personally expands himself to enter into each of these tiny little universes. In comparison to him, they are tiny. So you can understand how little and small we are. We think this universe is very big. What is the difference between the Jivatma and the Paramatma? This is just a little sample of the difference. For Mahavishnu, who is only an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna, this universe is tinier than a mustard seed. And for us, with all our big telescopes and all our space shuttles, we cannot fathom the size of this universe. So Mahavishnu enters into each of these little universes as Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu. But then Mahavishnu, after creating each universe and entering as Mahavishnu, as Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu, with his eyes, he glances at each universe, and from his glance, he impregnates it with all of the jivatmas that are to take birth according to their karmic condition in each particular universe. In this sense, the earth is like our mother, and Mahavishnu is like the father who impregnates the mother with his glance. And we were all born from that interaction. Garbho Dakshayi lays, and a lotus flower sprouts from his navel. And upon that lotus flower, the original living created being of each universe, Lord Brahma, is born. Lord Brahma is given the instruction to perform tapasya. And through tapasya and devotion to the Lord, he is given darshan of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord reveals from within his heart the Vedic knowledge. In this way, through Shabda Brahma, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye, he makes Brahma the first spiritual master of each universe. How significant! The purpose of this material creation is to send us all back home, back to Godhead. And the first thing that's created is Brahma, and the first thing inspired within Brahma is the Vedic knowledge. Jagya shishta shina shantu machyante sarvikil bashai punjate tetvakam papa ye pachanjatma karana. Human life is meant for sacrifice. Sahajagya prajashvishra prajapachi padopati. Krishna says that at the beginning of creation that I have given the Vedic knowledge through Brahma. And then after the Vedas are revealed, Brahma begins the process of creation of all the planets and all the various species of life. And of all these species of life, Krishna is to be known. That is the purpose of creation. And there are four yugas. According to a particular person's karmic condition, Satya Yuga is for the very pious, where practically everyone goes back to Godhead because they have such an inclination towards spiritual life. In Treta Yuga, people become slightly more degraded. In Dwapara Yuga, half the population is God-conscious and half is degraded. And for those living entities who have the worst possible karma, they take birth in a Kali Yuga. Kaler dosa nidei rajan asti hik mahan guna kirtanar eva krishnasya mukta sangha parambraja. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. It's the age of quarrel, the age of hypocrisy, the iron age of irreligion, the age where religion becomes irreligion and irreligion becomes religion. But it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that Kali Yuga is the most blessed and worshipable of all ages. Because in the age of Kali, the Supreme Lord incarnates in his most munificent and merciful of all incarnations to give everyone love of God through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And exactly how does this come about, that the Lord appears in the age of Kali to deliver this pure gift of Krishna prema so profusely, indiscriminately to everyone, not considering qualification or disqualification? Today is the day when we honor that personality who has brought the descent of Lord Chaitanya into this world, Sri Advaita Acharya. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Mahavishnu. He is the purpose person, the personality who created this entire cosmic manifestation. And knowing the purpose of the cosmic manifestation to send everyone back to Godhead, that same Mahavishnu incarnated within this material world slightly over 500 years ago. He was born in a little village in Bengal called Navagram. His mother's name was Nabhi Devi, and his father's name was Kuvera Pandit. When he was just a small child, he was given two names, Kamalaksha and Advaita. It is said that immediately after his birth, the first words that came out of his mouth were Sri Krishna Chaitanya. But nobody could understand this. Playing the role of an ordinary human being, when he was very young, he received the sacred thread. When he was only about 4 years old, his parents moved to Shantipur on the bank of the Ganges. His parents both left this world. They died when he was just a young, very young man. So after performing the Shraddha ceremony in Gaya, he decided to go on Tirtha Yatra to visit the holy places throughout all of India. During his journey, he met that great spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, and he accepted initiation from him. The Supreme Absolute Truth was playing the role of his own devotee. And to reciprocate with the love of his devotee, Madhavendra Puri, he became his disciple. Of course, also to show the world that no one can make proper spiritual advancement without becoming the humble servant of a great devotee of the Lord, a guru. He was always absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna, always absorbed in serving the devotees of Krishna and congregationally chanting with devotees the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He became very dear, loving friends with Sri Haridas Thakur. Advaitacharya wanted to establish who was really a great personality. In those days in India, and even still today, there is a very degraded, corrupt, and perverted conception of caste by birth, of who is qualified and who is unqualified. In those days, if an outcast sprinkled water from their pot on your head, you would be excommunicated from Hindu society for the rest of your life. You were never to allow to chant any mantras. You had to turn in your sacred thread. You were never allowed in a temple. You were never allowed to perform any worship of the Lord. That's what would happen if simply one drop of water from an outcast's water pot came upon your body. What else? The malechas from other religions that came into India, they would forcibly put meat in your mouth by force. And if that happened, the Hindu society banished you forever. And this is how the Hindus were converted to Islam and Christianity. Because the Sudras, the untouchables, the lower castes, which is the majority, they weren't allowed to perform any religious activity because they were considered unclean, contaminated. They weren't allowed in any temple. So these other religions came and said, well, you can worship in our temples. So they converted. Anyways, Advaitacharya was born of the highest class of Brahmins. And when he performed his Shraddha ceremony for his father, it is explained that you have to invite the best Brahmins to come. And the best of all the Brahmins you are supposed to give prasad to first. Who did he select? Sri Haridas Thakur, who was born in an untouchable family. And Haridas Thakur said, why me? I'm not even allowed to enter into any Hindu's temples. I'm an untouchable. Why are you giving to me? And Advaitacharya explained to him, because you are chanting the name of God, and because you are a pure devotee of God, by giving you prasad, I am feeding millions and millions and millions of Brahmins. That one's qualities, one's devotion, are the only single thing to be considered. We are not concerned with whether one is a man or a woman. We are not concerned whether one is a outcast or a incast. We are not concerned whether one is born of any country, of any color skin. The jiva soul is pure, part of Krishna. And any living being who is living according to the principles of dharma and chanting the holy names is to be respected and worshipped with all regard. So, in this way, Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya would spend their days blissfully dancing and chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And there were many devotees who took birth in Navadvip Dham. And especially at the house of Srivas Thakur, who was actually the incarnation of Sri Narada Muni, there was always kirtan going on. Advaitacharya built a little hut, a kutir, on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip. And there he would daily discuss the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna and the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. And along with Srivas and the other Vaishnavas, they would have wonderful kirtan. But when they looked around them, they could find no real peace of mind. Although within their own hearts, there was always the upsurging of ecstatic love. A real Vaishnava finds great grief in seeing the suffering of others. And what is the greatest suffering? When they see people wasting their valuable human lives in the pursuit of sense gratification without surrendering to Krishna. In those days, Navadvip was considered the highest seat of learning. It was a wealthy land. There was so much money, so much opulence, so much affluence. But what were people doing with their lives? They were worshiping demigods simply for material benedictions. They were worshiping snake gods with all sorts of superstitious purposes. They were worshiping the yakshas by offering wine and meat. They were spending lavish amounts of money for the weddings of their sons and daughters. Even the great pandits, the great so-called Brahmins, Mishra, Chakravarti, Bhattacharya, they were explaining all the scriptures according to Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda or according to atheistic views. with the aim of material enjoyment or impersonal conceptions. Nowhere, anywhere, was anyone discussing devotion. And the name of Krishna or Govinda would not come out of anyone's mouth. Seeing this, the Vaishnavas were plunged into an ocean of despair. And they would chant the holy names and pray to Lord Krishna, please do something to save all of these people. And they would have kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, especially to purify the atmosphere, to give some sense of spirituality to these completely contaminated materialistic people. And the people were so ungrateful. They would think that why are they making all this noise, all this useless, terrible noise, chanting the holy names of God? They are disturbing our sleep. And not only that, but the Muslim government that was then ruling Bengal, if they hear them chanting the holy names of God, they will come and they will torture our whole village. So they were thinking we should take the house of Srivas and we should uproot it and we should break it to pieces and we should take it with all these Vaishnavas and throw it in the Ganges and let it float downstream. This was the gratitude for the prayers and the mercy of the devotees. And seeing this, the leader of all the Vaishnavas, Sri Advaitacharya, the man, the personality that created this entire cosmic manifestation, seeing how his own creation was so radically opposed to him and to chanting his name and to any chance of liberation from suffering, he began to lament, and he made a vow that I am Mahavishnu, I am the creator of this manifestation, but Krishna is the source of everything. He is the source of me. And it is only if Krishna personally comes to this world is there any chance for these foolish people of Kali Yuga to attain the emancipation from suffering and love of God. So with this in mind, a heart flooded with compassion, Advaitacharya began to fast. And he made a vow that I will bring Krishna to this world. And he began to worship the Supreme Lord, Krishna, by offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water. One day, while Advaita was reading the scriptures, he heard a passage where the Supreme Personality of God had said that if one offers me with love and devotion a little Ganges water and some tulsi leaves, I will fulfill all of their desires. So with Ganges water and tulsi leaves, Advaitacharya was crying out with tears flowing profusely from his eyes, Krishna, Krishna, please, come to this world and deliver these fallen souls. You are their only hope. As he was appealing to the Lord with such devotional fervor, note how the Supreme Lord takes the role of his own devotee. His voice penetrated all of the heavenly planets, penetrated the coverings of this material existence, and entered right into the supreme abode of the Lord. And on the basis of Sri Advaitacharya's heartfelt prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, decided to appear within this world. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapa naradaya sambhavami jubesh. He came to annihilate the demoniac mentality, to protect the devotees, and to reestablish the principles in religion. And this was all served through the simple process of chanting the holy names of God. Nam Sankirtan destroys all the demons within our hearts, protects the pure, natural, original love of the devotee within the heart, and reestablishes prema, the perfection of religion. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
On the pleas of Sri Advaita Acharya, Lord Sri Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun during the lunar eclipse. When he was born, Advaita Acharya, he was in Shantipur, and he saw so many auspicious signs within the atmosphere, and he felt such an upsurge of ecstasy within his heart that he and Haridas Thakur began to dance jubilantly, knowing that the Lord had appeared. He immediately sent his wife, Sita Thakurani, and with all sorts of wonderful gifts to worship the Lord and bless the Lord. And Advaita himself came. And when they saw this beautiful infant, they could understand that the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj has now appeared with a golden complexion to spread the glories of love of God in all directions. Sri Advaita Acharya, his wonderful, wonderful and merciful contribution to all of our lives was how he was always revealing the glories of Lord Chaitanya for the world to see. There are innumerable examples, of which I will cite just a few. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, he was inducing everyone to chant the holy names in so many ways. But later on, he wanted to establish a very important religious principle, because he too was playing the role of a devotee. He appeared to be a scholar of grammar, and he didn't manifest devotion or love until he met his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. The Supreme Lord wanted to make this a known fact for everyone, that no one can achieve real love of God without humbly serving a proper spiritual master and associating with great devotees. So when he was in his teenage years, he came back to Navadvip after visiting Gaya, and he was immersed in chanting the holy names, and he was manifesting the highest symptoms of pure bhakti. Sri Advaita Acharya, one day, he was in the house that he had in the bank of the Ganges. And he was worshiping the Supreme Lord, Shalagram Shila. He was crying out the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit came to visit him. At that time, when Lord Chaitanya heard Advaita chanting the names of Krishna with such love and such intense devotion, in ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya fell unconscious to hear his devotee chanting his names with such love. When he was unconscious, Advaita, he could understand that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme God Krishna. And he began to worship him. He began to chant a prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya. And as he was worshipping him with the 16 articles of paraphernalia, Lord Chaitanya got up, and seeing Advaita to be a very senior, older man and a godbrother of his own guru, Lord Chaitanya touched the feet of Advaita and began to offer all respects to him. But Advaita said, "It is too late. I have already worshipped you. I know who you are." Harivo!
Harivo!
On another occasion, just after this, Advaitacharya decided, "I'm going to reveal to the world who this Lord is. I'm going to leave this place and go to Shantipur. And if I actually have real devotion to the Lord, then he will somehow or other drag me back to Navadvip to be in his association again." So he went to Shantipur, which is some miles away. Today, driving, it's about 1.5 hours. But in those days, it was walking. So, one day, Lord Chaitanya, he approached the brother of Srivas Pandit, Ramai, and he told him that you go to Shantipur and you give this message to Advaitacharya. Tell him that you have prayed and you have fasted to bring the Lord down. I have come as the fulfillment of your prayers, and I want you to be here to worship me. Bring your wife to come and worship me. So Ramai went to Shantipur, and he gave this message to Advaita. And when Advaita and his family heard this message, they began to weep tears of love. Advaita had a little son named Achyutananda, who was hardly a baby. But when he heard this message, he was weeping and weeping in ecstatic love. And Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaitacharya, was also weeping in love. And they began to arrange all sorts of wonderful gifts to worship the Lord with, according to the scriptures. But Advaita told Ramai that, "I will go to Navadvip, but I will not go to the place of Lord Chaitanya. I will go and I will hide in Nandanacharya's house. And if he's really the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will call for me there. Don't tell him where I am." So Advaitacharya went to Nandanacharya's house with his wife, and they were hiding. And Ramai Pandit, he arrived in Navadvip. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Srivas Thakur's house. And as soon as Ramai entered, Lord Chaitanya, who was sitting on the throne of Vishnu, he began to call out the name of Advaita. One name was Nada. He said, "I know that he has come. He is hiding in the house of Advaita, of Nandanacharya, just to test me, to see if I am really the supreme super soul of all living beings. Tell him, it is I. And bring him here immediately. And when Advaitacharya got this news, he immediately ran to the house of Srivas Thakur. And he and his wife, they offered their obeisances. And they saw before their eyes the beautiful, beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Resplendent like millions and billions and trillions of suns, casting the most merciful, loving glances on everyone. And all of a sudden, Advaita saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his original form. And around him was Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and all the principal demigods. And with folded hands, they were offering prayers to him. And then he saw literally hundreds, hundreds, thousands of all various demigods all offering prayers to the Lord. And he saw goddess Ganga, the goddess of the river Ganga, on a chariot, and she was worshiping the Lord. And he saw the Nagas, big beautiful snakes, with hundreds, thousands of hoods, and all of their mouths were worshiping the Lord. And he saw wonderful elephants and chariots of the demigods and other great beings. And they were all worshiping the Lord. And in another direction, he saw all the great saints and all the great sages and all the wives of the great saints and sages, and they were all chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, in every direction, the entire atmosphere was filled with celestial beings glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And upon seeing this, Sri Advaita Acharya became so much overwhelmed with happiness. He began to glorify the Lord. He bowed down to the Lord. And then he began to worship the Lord. He washed his lotus feet with scented water. And then he took very fine oils and massaged the Lord's feet. And then he took tulsi leaves and flowers and dipped them in sandalwood pulp. And after properly worshiping the Lord with all the various ingredients of puja, offering arti, the Lord lifted his feet and placed them on Advaitacharya's head. And when all the devotees saw this, they all began to chant, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari! And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Advaitacharya, chant my names and dance. And Sri Advaitacharya began to dance. And how beautifully he danced. So graceful, so full of love, with such divine humility that all the devotees were just struck with wonder and ecstatic feelings to see the beauty of Lord Advaita's dancing. And after dancing very, very enthusiastically for a long time, Sri Advaitacharya, like a very humble servant, sat at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And the Lord said, Advaita, please ask me for any boon. I will fulfill any desire you have. And Advaitacharya said, my Lord, all my desires are fulfilled. Today you allowed me to dance for you. What else could I ask for in my life? And you have appeared with this most beautiful form to give me your darshan. All my desires are fulfilled. But the Lord insisted, asked for one boon. And Advaitacharya, he said, all right. You have come And by the chanting of the holy names, you have delivered so many fortunate souls. My desire is that the most sinful, the lowest, and the most wretched souls, that you give them love of God by chanting your holy name. Let your holy name be resounding everywhere for the deliverance of everyone. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes. On the basis of your request, all living beings in this age of Kali Yuga will have the opportunity for the highest liberation of Krishna Prema. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu Ki! On another occasion, Sri Advaita Acharya, he was in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur, and there was kirtan going on, and he was dancing very wonderfully. He was actually in the mood of the gopis that day, and he was feeling very depressed in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. And he was dancing and dancing with such enthusiasm and such devotion that the devotees could not contain him. He was dancing for hours and hours and hours, and all the other devotees were very exhausted. And finally, with great endeavor, the devotee somehow or other got Advaitacharya to sit quietly. And then Srivas Thakur and the other devotees decided to go to take bath in the Ganges. And as they were gone, Advaitacharya began to dance again. And he began rolling in the ground all alone. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Srivas Thakur and he saw Advaita. At that time, he was sitting very silently. And Lord Chaitanya took him by the hand and brought him in the temple of Srivas. And he said, Advaitacharya, I want to make you happy. I want to fulfill whatever desire you have. Ask anything of me. Advaitacharya said, I want to see what you showed Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Suddenly, right before Sri Advaitacharya's eyes, he saw Kurukshetra Dham. He saw the Kuru army and the Pandava army with millions and millions of soldiers on chariots and horses and elephants. And between the two armies, he saw a beautiful chariot. And on that chariot, Arjuna was standing with folded hands, and Krishna was seated with four arms, holding the conch shell and the lotus and the chakra and the club. And from this beautiful forearm form of Sri Krishna, who was standing with a beautiful blackish complexion and lotus eyes, emanated the Virat Rupa, the universal form. He saw all of the planets, the sun, the stars, all the oceans, all the mountains, all the devatas, all living beings. He saw this beautiful form, this awesome form that had millions of heads and millions of eyes and millions of mouths. And from the mouths, fire was coming out, and all sinful materialistic beings and atheistic beings were being devoured by those mouths which represent almighty time, which devours all people on the bodily materialistic concept of life. And as Advaitacharya saw this with folded palms and great reverence, he was bowing down and offering prayers. This immense manifestation. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu, within his heart, understood what was happening. So he came into the temple of Srivas and closed the door. And he also saw this beautiful universal form of the Lord. And he and Advaita were both standing with great reverence, offering prayers in ecstatic love. Worshipping him. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after giving this special darshan, he left. Advaita Charja and Nityananda Prabhu simply danced in ecstasy with one another. You see, Sri Advaita Charja, he made these wonderful requests to the Lord just so it would be recorded. Who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is his power? What is his greatness? And what is his mercy? He wanted to reveal, not for the Lord's sake, but for our sake, the opportunity that we have to take shelter of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is his mercy? He has given us the ways and the means by which we can attain pure love of God in this age of Kali. Ultimately, everything Advaita Charja did was simply to reveal to the world the glories of the holy name of Krishna, and to induce the fallen souls of this world to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today, on his appearance day, such a very blessed and holy day, we have the opportunity to express our gratitude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared in such a wonderful, wonderful way to reveal the glories of the holy name and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And what is the best way we can celebrate? What is the best way we can worship and give pleasure to Sri Advaita Acharya on this day? By becoming pure devotees of the Lord. By accepting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That was his only desire, that all living beings accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And how do we do this? By following his instructions. What is Advaita Charya's? What is Lord Chaitanya? What is Krishna's instruction? They are all one person. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Charya, they're all the one supreme person, who has so inconceivably and wonderfully divided into so many different forms and personalities just to spread their love to us. Lord Chaitanya taught, by simply learning how to be humble and serve the Vaishnavas, by taking a great interest to hear the glories of the Lord, and to come together to honestly and sincerely chant the names of the Lord, everyone can receive the supreme treasure of Krishna Prema. So let us take this Krishna Prema, and let us give this Krishna Prema. This is the life of a devotee, simply to take the mercy of the Lord by chanting his holy names and serving his devotees, and giving that mercy to others by inspiring them to do the same. So at this time, we would like to perform a beautiful aarti ceremony for Sri Advaita Acharya and the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. And everyone, please, do not go. Mm. No one should go until after the aarti and after prasad. That is my humble request. Because after all, losing a little sleep on special days like this is actually necessary.